Our second scripture reading today comes from 2 Kings, chapter 5, 1 through 14. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Naaman, commander of the army of the kings of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." So Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine this. You're a 5-year-old little girl playing in your front yard. Now, this is something you have done many times before. This is your safe place, your safe space. This is your world. Then all of a sudden, someone comes up to you. Now, you know you're not supposed to talk to strangers, but this person is offering you some ice cream. You love ice cream. "It's over in the car," the person tells you. "Okay, let's go get that tasty treat." Now, as you get to the car, you realize there's no ice cream here. And then the door is shut, and all of a sudden, the car is moving. You start to scream. This stranger tells you to be quiet and just keeps on driving. You feel like hours have passed. Days, weeks, months, years go by, and you're trapped in this stranger's car. But then, as if the wish your heart made all of a sudden came true, the person stops and lets you out of the car and drives away. Now, imagine, if you will, that you're a teenage boy hanging out with your friends. It's a nice day outside and you're feeling good. But then you notice something odd going on in your neighbor's yard. This little girl that you've seen playing outside many times is getting into a car you've never seen before with a person you've never seen before. Your spidey senses start to tingle. You know something is wrong and you are not going to stand idly by. So you hop on your bike and you follow that car up and down the neighborhood. Wherever it turns, you turn. Until finally, almost without warning, the car stops and the little girl is let free. And she runs to you asking for her mommy. With some creative license taken, this scenario we have just imagined actually happened back in 2013. You might remember hearing it on the news. 15-year-old Tamar Boggs chased down a car, kidnapping 5-year-old Jocelyn Rojas. Boggs was hailed a hero by Rojas' family, local community, and even national press. Sometimes really unexpected and scary things happen in our lives. Sometimes the world we live in gets completely turned upside down. And in the blink of an eye, everything changes. No amount of wealth or prosperity or privilege keeps unexpected things happening. Anyone and everyone finds themselves at some point or another struggling or suffering with something unexpected. Like, for example, Naaman, the great commander of a mighty army. He had brought victory to his country and honor to his people. But then, seemingly out of nowhere, he contracts leprosy. This would have been more than a minor inconvenience. Leprosy was a death sentence in more ways than one. It's a highly contagious and fatal disease, and because of that, it leads to isolation and exile from the larger community. For Naaman, this would have been a life-changing, unexpected, devastating event. But then something interesting happens. In the most unexpected way, Naaman hears that he can be healed of this disease. To his rescue comes a young, unnamed slave girl. And this would have come at a great price to this young girl. She's unnamed in this story. She's so lowly, we can't even call her by her first name. And of course, she cannot speak directly to Naaman. That would have been highly improper. Instead, she must go through the appropriate channels. As Lisa Thompson, assistant professor of homiletics at Union Theological Seminary, puts it, the observant statement of the young girl places a cycle in motion. The wife of Naaman, also unnamed beyond her relationship to Naaman, carries the message to her husband. Quite possibly, the young girl has risked speaking to her mistress, the wife, with threats of dismissal. The wife has risked carrying the message to Naaman and faces threats of dismissal. This young slave girl, although left unnamed, does something we have all been called to do. She shows love to her enemy. She's been captured and sold as chattel. She has no rights and no status of her own. Yet, she remembers what life was like under the covenant between God and Israel. She remembers the call to love. And so she comes to the aid of someone who probably would not have done the same for her. In his book, World Changing 101, David Lamont tells the story of one person who put his life on the line for another. Wesley Autry lived in New York City with his family. One day, while waiting for a subway with his two daughters, a young man standing near him had an epileptic seizure and fell into the tracks below. Wesley and another bystander jumped down into the rails to try to pull him to safety. And while they were down there, the sound of a train filled the air. Now, the other person made the reasonable decision to get out of there. But Wesley stayed. He eyed a space between the train and the floor and moved the shaking young man into the space between the rails. He used his own body as a shield to cover this young man while several train cars passed over them. The space between the ground and the train was only about 12 inches. And when the two were pulled up again, Wesley had grease stains on his hat from the bottom of the train. There's no question that what Wesley did was profoundly heroic, self-sacrificing, and admirable. And undoubtedly, what he did had a significant impact on the young man he saved. And unsurprisingly, Wesley was deemed a hero by news coverage. He was even named one of Time magazine's Persons of the Year. Of course, his act was heroic and should be commended. But Lamont highlights this story because of how detrimental it can be to those who hear it. This story contributes to the hero myth. Now, what I mean by that is that we hear these stories of people doing incredible things, life-saving stunts. And then we think to ourselves, I could never do something like that. Maybe I would like to, but there's no way I could be that heroic. And that can be detrimental because we often buy into the hero myth, yet being a hero is not what we are called to do. This unnamed slave girl did not set out to be a hero. And while her acts were courageous and brave, ultimately, she was simply and selflessly living out the covenant. As Wesley said of all the media attention after his act, I don't feel like I did something spectacular. I saw someone who needed help. I did what I felt was right. As we live by the covenant, we do not set out to live spectacularly. We set out to do what is right and then let God work. Abel Pavarez says he talked to God and asked for 19 more years to complete his life's work. He started the Presbyterian mission in a tiny Cuban village dominated by a large sugar mill in January 2015. At the time, he just had 6 worshipers. And the mission has grown and has 30 members, and it's still growing. I told God my dream is to get to 80 people, Pavarez says. He's 81, and so 19 more years would get him to 100. And I told God not to call me before then. There's no neon sign, no message board with pithy phrases, no tall steeple or cross on top to mark the mission. To locate it, visitors from the nearby Sancti Spiritus community have to use the Cuban GPS, which is asking directions from a string of local residents. A deeply rutted dirt road off the main highway takes you into a community of simple dwellings and to Pavarez's small house. The mission site is a small patio with a corrugated tin roof that lets plenty of water in during the wet seasons. simple benches are piled up in one corner to be pulled out and arranged when a service is scheduled or visitors come. There's even a portable pulpit. And the mission is permanently inhabited by a flock of scrawny, noisy chickens. The call of the mission is simple. A church that does not serve is nothing, Pérez said. Our real theology is feeding the hungry and healing the sick. You don't educate people by talking, but by doing. In 2003, Pérez went to Miami to learn more about smoking meat, which is his livelihood. When you go to the mission, there's a large brick oven which commands one corner. Now, while on the trip to Miami, he asked many people why they hated churches. They said, churches do nothing. They only talk, he recalled. So we determined, when we started this mission, that we are going to do things. They started by helping women in the community replace kitchen goods after fires destroyed a series of homes. And they used the proceeds of Pérez's meat smoking operation to help feed the community. Through the Sanctus Spiritus congregation, Pérez has established a strong connection with the city's hospitals to help provide medical care to isolated residences. We don't talk much about God, said Pérez. We show people God by our actions. God speaks to us and through us in the most unexpected ways. When Naaman finally reaches Elisha after a very dramatic encounter with the king of Israel, he continues to find the unexpected. Elisha does not come out and lay hands on him. Elijah simply sends a message to go wash in the waters of the Jordan. Now, this is not what Naaman wanted. Certainly not what he expected. And it even took other unnamed servants to convince him he needed to listen to this prophet. Perhaps these servants saw something that Naaman didn't. The unnamed slave girl and Elijah were not gaining anything from helping Nathan. They were simply living the covenant. They were acting out the love of God. The way the Spirit moves is unexpected throughout the whole story. The way the Spirit moves is unexpected throughout our whole lives. We may never have moments where we must make a split decision to be a hero, but every day we can share the love of God and the good news in our words and actions. We can bring prophetic change into the world by making our lives not about us, but about God. Amen.